Week of Prayer Reading. Go, preach the gospel. 1910. When I think of the history of our work during the past 10 years, I can but say, see what the Lord hath wrought. Mercifully, he has been working to shed light upon the pathway of his people. In spite of the hindrances that have been met with in the work, we need not feel sadness, except as we see a failure on the part of God's people to follow their leader step by step. From one of the published testimonies, I copy the following. It is God's purpose that his people shall be a sanctified, purified, holy people, communicating light to all with whom they come in contact. It is his purpose that by exemplifying the truth in their lives, they shall be a praise in the earth. The grace of Christ is sufficient to bring this about. But let God's people remember that only as they believe and work out the principles of the gospel can he make them a praise in the earth. Only as they yield their God-given capabilities in his service will they enjoy the fullness and the power of the promise whereon the church has been called to stand. If those who profess to believe in Christ as their Savior reach only the low standard of worldly measurement, the church fails to bear the rich harvest that God expects. Found wanting is written upon her record. A great work is before us, the closing work of this earth's history. Solemn indeed is the time in which we are living, and heavy the responsibilities resting upon us as a people. The third angel's message is now to be proclaimed, not only in far-off lands, but in neglected places close by, where multitudes dwell unwarned and unsaved. Our cities everywhere are calling for earnest, wholehearted labor from the servants of God. The message for this time is now to be proclaimed earnestly in the great business world. Day after day, the centers of commerce and trade are thronged with men and women who need the truth for this time, but who gain no saving knowledge of its precious principles because earnest, persevering efforts are not put forth to reach them where they are. The spiritual darkness that covers the whole world is intensified in the crowded centers of population. It is in the cities of the nations that the gospel worker finds the greatest impenitence and the greatest need. And in these same cities are presented to soul winners some of the greatest opportunities. Mingled with the multitudes who have no thought of God and heaven are many who long for light and for purity of heart. Even among the careless and indifferent, there are not a few whose attention may be arrested by a revelation of God's love for the human soul. The conditions that face Christian workers in the great cities constitute a solemn appeal for untiring effort in behalf of the millions living within the shadow of impending doom. Men will soon be forced to great decisions, and they must have opportunity to hear and to understand Bible truth in order that they may take their stand intelligently on the right side. God is now calling upon the messengers in no uncertain terms to warn the cities while mercy still lingers and while multitudes are yet susceptible to the converting influence of Bible truths. Often the needs of the cities have appealed to those who understand by the prophecies what is coming upon the earth. And yet comparatively little has been done to enter these cities with the warning message of present truth. The Spirit of the Lord is still urging men to undertake this work with new courage and zeal, and never cease the effort until a thorough work is done. For years, the pioneers in our work struggled against poverty and manifold hardship in order to place the cause of present truth on vantage ground. With meager facilities, they labored untiringly, and the Lord blessed their humble efforts. The laborers of today may not have to endure all the hardships of those early days. The change of conditions, however, should not lead to any slackening of efforts. And now, when the Lord bids us proclaim the message with power in the crowded centers of population, shall we not respond as one man and do his bidding? Shall we not plan to send messengers all through these fields and support them liberally? Shall not the ministers of God go to these crowded centers and there lift up their voice in warning to the multitudes? In the cities are people of all nationalities, many of whom, if earnest effort is put forth, will accept the truth. These will be specially qualified to carry the message to their own countrymen. How long shall these teeming centers of population be neglected? If our brethren will use their God-given ability in this work, angels of heaven will go before them to make an impression on the hearts of the people for whom they labor. The Lord has many who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. I appeal to those who for many years have known the truth. It is time to wake up, the watchmen. I have expended my strength in giving the messages that the Lord has given me. The burden of our cities has rested so heavily upon me that it has sometimes seemed that I should die. The work in the cities is the essential work for this time, and is now to be taken hold of in faith. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. May the Lord give wisdom to our brethren, that they may know how to carry forward the work in harmony with His will. With mighty power, the cry is to be sounded in our large centers of population. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Matthew 25, verse 6. Individual effort. The ordained minister alone is not equal to the task of warning the world. God is calling not only upon ministers, but also upon physicians, nurses, canvassers, Bible workers, and other consecrated laymen of varied talents who have a knowledge of present truth to consider the needs of the unwarned cities. There should be 100 workers' activity engaged in personal missionary work where now there is but one. Time is rapidly passing. There is much work to be done before satanic opposition shall close up the way. Every agency must be set in operation that present opportunities may be wisely improved. The Lord is calling upon the men and women who have the light of truth for this time to engage in genuine, personal missionary work. Especially are the church members living in the cities to exercise, in all humility, their God-given talents in laboring with those who are willing to hear the message that should come to the world at this time. There are great blessings in store for those who fully surrender to the call of God. As such workers undertake to win souls for Jesus, they will find that many who never could be reached in any other way will respond to intelligent, personal effort. A working church is a living church. Church members, let the light shine forth. Let your voices be heard in humble prayer, in witness against the intemperance, the folly, and the amusements of this world, and in the proclamation of the truth for this time. Your voice, your influence, your time, all these are gifts from God and are to be used in winning souls to Christ. Visit your neighbors and show an interest in the salvation of their souls. Arouse every spiritual energy to action. Tell those whom you visit that the end of all things is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ will open the door of their hearts and will make upon their minds lasting impressions. Strive to arouse men and women from their spiritual insensibility. Tell them how you found Jesus and how blessed you have been since you gained an experience in His service. Tell them what blessings come to you as you sit at the feet of Jesus and learn precious lessons from His Word. Tell of the gladness and joy that there are in the Christian life. Your warm, fervent words will convince them that you have found the pearl of great price. Let your cheerful, encouraging words show that you have certainly found the higher way. This is genuine missionary work, and as it is done, many will awake as from a dream. The nearness of the end. Listen to the voice of Jesus as it comes sounding down along the line to our time, addressing the professed Christian who stands idle in the marketplace. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Go ye also into the vineyard. Matthew 20, verse 6, 7. Work while it is day, for the night cometh in which no man can work. The Savior declared that before his second coming, there would be wars and rumors of wars, and earthquakes in divers places. The reports that reached us of the terrible earthquake in Italy and Sicily tell of another fulfillment of the signs of the end. These calamities are becoming more and more frequent, and each report of calamity by land or sea is a testimony to the fact that the end of all things is near. The world is filled with iniquity, and the Lord is punishing it for its wickedness. As crimes and iniquities increase, these judgments will become more frequent until the time shall come when the earth shall no more cover her slain. The judgments of God are hanging over our cities. We know not how soon they will be visited by just such a calamity as recently befell Italy. I pray for the deep movings of the Holy Spirit on the hearts of God's people, that this message, the last message of warning, may be given without delay. The day of the Lord is hasting greatly. The end is nearer than when we first believed.
Everything in this world is in an unsettled state. The nations are angry, and preparations for war are being made. But though there is among the nations an increasing unrest, though they are mustering their forces, they are as if held back from action by an unseen power. The angels are holding the four winds until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. Soon strife among the nations will break out with an intensity that we do not now anticipate. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. Rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes, have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are watching the strained, restless relations that exist amongst the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they realize that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. A moment of respite has been graciously given us of God. Every power lent us of heaven is now to be used in working for those perishing in ignorance. There must be no delay. The truth must be proclaimed in the dark places of the earth. Obstacles must be met and surmounted. A great work is to be done, and to those who know the truth for this time, this work has been entrusted. As a lamp that burneth. I am instructed to speak words to our people that will give them courage to do diligently the work that shall come to them in this their day of opportunity. I am instructed to urge the necessity of personal consecration and the sanctification of the whole being to God. Let each one inquire, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do, that the vigilance of Christ may be seen in my life, that his example may be followed by me, that I may speak sincere words which will help souls in darkness. Oh, how I long to see church members clothed with their beautiful garments and prepared to go forth to meet the bridegroom. Many are expecting to sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who are unprepared for the coming of the King. They are like the blind. They do not seem to discern their danger. The Lord calls upon you, O church that has been blessed with the truth, to give a knowledge of this truth to those who know it not. From one end of the world to the other must the message of Christ's soon coming be proclaimed. The third angel's message, the last message of mercy to a perishing world, is so precious, so glorious. Let the truth go forth as a lamp that burneth. Mysteries into which angels desire to look, which prophets and kings and righteous men desired to know, the Church of God is to make known. It is our privilege to see the work of God advancing in the cities. Christ is waiting, waiting for places to be entered. Who are preparing for this work? We shall not say that we are destitute of laborers. There are some workers, and for this we are glad. But there is a greater, a far greater work to be done in our cities. Far greater self-denial is to be practiced in order that the word of life may be carried from place to place and from house to house. More and more, men and women are going forth with the gospel message. We thank God for this. But we need a greater awakening. We slide back into self-indulgence. We do not exercise to the utmost the virtues that Christ has promised if we ask in faith. That which we receive from Christ, we must give to others. Just as surely as we received, so surely must we give. None who receive the grace of Christ can keep it to themselves. As soon as Christ becomes an abiding presence in the heart, we shall not be able to see souls perishing in ignorance of the truth and be at rest. We shall make any sacrifice that we may reach them, and none of us are so poor that we cannot make daily sacrifices for Christ. The influence of the work we are doing will be felt through all eternity. If we will work in harmony with one another and with heaven, God will demonstrate His power in our behalf as He did for the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Those days of preparation, in which the disciples prepared themselves by prayer and a putting away of all disunion, brought them into such close relation to God that He could work for them and through them in a marvelous manner. Today, God desires to accomplish great things through the faith and works of His believing people. But we must stand in right relation to Him, that when He speaks to us, we may hear and understand His voice. Let not unbelief come in, for God's work is to go from city to city, from country to country. The plans of the enemies of God may be laid to defeat His work. But have faith that Jehovah will remove all obstructions to the progress of His work. Talk faith, work in faith, and advance in faith. Obstacles will be removed as we lay hold of the promises of God. Let the Lord's people go forward, and their hearts will be made strong.
What is the promise to those living in these last days? Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today will I declare that I will render double unto thee. Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain. Zechariah 9, verse 12, 10, 1.